Hello, hello there. My name is Murray. I'm with my co-host Corey, and we are The Real Guys. This is Siren Radio, and this is The Real Show, with two E's. The music you just heard was Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival from 1969. What was that year like, Corey?
Very nice, very smooth, very calm, quite relaxing year.
Very relaxing year, And you can find that song in the soundtrack to Grand Theft Auto 5, Grand Theft Auto 5, and that can only mean one thing. For the next 3 weeks, we'll be discussing films, TV series, and more based on and around video games. Isn't that interesting, Corey?
The lovely world of the crossover.
Yes, lovely we are. We're doing a crossover show with sort of another medium, which has become very cinematographic recently.
It has.
It gives us good reason to talk about it, Corey.
Mm.
We've got a packed show for you today for this special broadcast. And as always, I'm accompanied by my co-host, Corey. How are you doing today, Corey?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. Now, we've got a couple of pieces of news here recently for the video game, film and TV market, for those of you that are interested in that. We've got Sonic 2, the sequel to Sonic the Hedgehog film. It's coming out, announced for April 8th, 2022.
Yes, you're correct.
And we've had a couple of pieces of casting for the Last of Us TV show. Are you a fan of the Last of Us games?
I've not played them personally, but I've seen other people play them. I know the gist, anyway.
Okay. Well, they've cast Mandalorian and Wonder Woman, 1984 actor Pedro Pascal as Joel.
Yes. Yes, they have.
And they've cast Game of Thrones and His Dark Materials actress Bella Ramsey as Ellie.
Yeah, I was about to say, oh, isn't that the one that Tom Holland's in? And I remember, no, that's Uncharted. That's the Uncharted film.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I like Pedro Pascal. I think he's great in The Mandalorian and Game of Thrones. And Bella Ramsey as well. She's great in Game of Thrones as well. Leona Mormon, she does really, really well. Amazing young actress.
Where are we going?
But most recently, what is the most recent sort of trailer to come out of the video game film franchises, Corey?
I mean, there can only be one thing you're alluding to here.
Yes. Yeah, but what am I alluding to? That's the key.
You're alluding to the Tournament of the Ages.
Yes,
Where realms collide. You're on
realms collide. Or maybe they won't. It's the Mortal Kombat trailer.
Yes.
You did watch the Red Band trailer, didn't you? This will be R-rated in America.
Yes, yes, it will be.
It will be an 18 over here because, you know, Mortal Kombat, for those of you that don't know, is infamous for its fatalities, its finishing moves, where you can, you know, rip a man's spine out through his chest and pull a man's heart out through his chest and decapitate people.
I mean, even in the trailer, you see someone's arms get ripped off.
Yeah, people's arms are getting ripped off, people are getting stabbed in the head, people are getting their hearts ripped out, everything's happening in the trailer. It's a long trailer, it's a couple of minutes, but it's a bit of a thrill ride. Potential spoilers, by the way, for people who want to watch Mortal Kombat in their own good time, this 2021 film, potential spoilers. But do you want to do what we did last time and just rattle through things? I've got a list now. I've got a list of characters, and I've sort of put down what I think of each of them.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Now, first off, the protagonist of this film isn't an actual character from the game.
No, he's not.
No, but we'll go on to him. Let's first start off with a list of characters who have been confirmed from the video games. Now, there's a lot of Mortal Kombats out there. Mortal Kombat 1, the original three Mortal Kombats. Then there's Mortal Kombat 4, which is sort of a 3D thing. Most recently, Midway Studios sold Mortal Kombat to Warner Brothers, who then left it under the watchful eye of NetherRealm Studios, who were created to make Mortal Kombat games.
Yeah.
But actually, people from Midway, when Midway was sort of shut down and sold to Warner Brothers, people from Midway just basically made NetherRealm. Like, NetherRealm is like a child studio of Midway.
Yeah.
Anyway, NetherRealm has made the last three Mortal Kombat games, 9, 10, and 11.
Yeah, I believe so.
And they've made a couple of Injustice games, which is like Mortal Kombat for DC heroes, basically.
Yeah.
And both of which are pretty good fighting games. I'm a bit of a fighting game fan, so.
Yeah, but yeah, I've not played much of the Injustice stuff, but I played my fair bit of Mortal Kombat.
Okay. Well, let's get into some characters that are confirmed. The first one is Jax Briggs, the robot-armed fighting guy for the Special Forces. Now, Ermac is nowhere to be seen in this trailer.
No.
And Ermac is infamously the one that does remove Jax's arms.
No. However, I did some research, and apparently, because in the trailer you do see his arms get ripped off, people are saying that the person who rips his arm off is Noob Saibot.
No, it's Sub-Zero, isn't it?
No, it's someone wearing all black, I believe.
It's Bi-Han. Bi-Han is the first Sub-Zero who is killed by Scorpion and becomes Noob Saibot.
It looks like a just ninja in all black, and I think people have...
Oh, saying, I swear to you it's Sub-Zero.
I can't... Noob Saibot is definitely somewhat in the trailer somewhere.
Oh. And that's... I swear to you that is Sub-Zero, because Jax has human arms, yes, by the way, and he goes into this building, and he has a shotgun, and he tries to fire the shotgun at Sub-Zero, but Sub-Zero, like, freezes the barrel, and, like, the shot's, like, it becomes all frozen.
Mm.
And then Sub-Zero grabs his arms and, like, breaks his arms off with the power of his ice powers.
Yeah.
And then we get Sonya Blade,
yep,
informing this sort of new original insert character of the fact that this ninja had superhuman powers.
Mm.
And we have to defeat these ninjas in Mortal Kombat, which is a tournament of like champions of people with amazing abilities and amazing fighting skills have to come together and decide who is the best in Mortal Kombat. So there we go. It's basically sort of, I don't know whether it's similar to the 1995 Mortal Kombat plot, but maybe it is. It's been a long time since I've seen that film.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while.
So let's talk the elephant in the room then. Let's talk Cole Young, is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. In one vein, well, no. When you have a property, when you have an IP for people in the industry, when you have an IP, I don't like when you have what are effectively original characters in that IP, when you have enough characters. Like, yeah. I don't have a problem with introducing new characters, but don't make the new characters like the focus of your thing. It's like, I don't like it when there's a character who is unfamiliar with that world, so he has to be taught to be familiar with that world by people who are already familiar with that world. Like, you could have just made him Johnny Cage.
Yeah, that's the thing, is when I first saw the trailer, that's just kind of who I assumed it was.
Yeah.
It looks like him.
And it kind of does look like Johnny. They could have just called him Johnny Cage, and I'd be like, you know what, I'm fine with that.
And, like, he's with Sonya at the start, and I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense, it's Johnny Cage. And then I realised, no, it's not. It's this other, like, MMA fighter character.
Yeah, he's just a guy called Cole Young. He's not even Johnny Cage.
Who has, like, dragon powers or something. Like a
Johnny Cage isn't even in this film.
No.
He's not even in this trailer. He might show up in the film, I don't know, but he's not even in this trailer. If they would have called him Johnny Cage, I would have been perfectly happy. They don't even have to make him a movie star. He can be a boxer or whatever he is, and just call him Johnny Cage. I would have been happy. You know, maybe he can wear sunglasses. Maybe he can shoot green stuff. I don't know. But he has this sort of tattoo on him of like a dragon, but then they go like, it's a birthmark.
Yeah.
And then they go, when did he get that? And they go, oh, he had it from birth. I go, yes, that's what a birthmark means.
Yeah.
A dumb line.
Yeah.
That's what birthmark means when you have something from birth.
Yeah.
I have a birthmark. It's a little circle on my wrist. But
it's funny
how someone looks at it and goes, when did you get that? When I was born.
Yeah.
That's what birthmark means. Anyway, let's go on to Sub-Zero.
Yep.
Because he's the only one that sort of professes his name. He goes, I am Sub-Zero. He's the ice-powered ninja of the Lin Kuei ninja clan who wear blue. He's confirmed with Bi-Han. He's not Kuai Liang. He is the first Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
He's Bi-Han, who, spoilers, I've mentioned this before though, is killed by Scorpion and then becomes Noob Saibot.
Yeah.
So Noob Saibot may as well be in this film. That's what I think, at least.
Okay.
Probably around the end. He might show up at the end. It's Scorpion, but that's Scorpion's whole thing. Scorpion's and Sub-Zero's vendetta is to kill each other.
Yes.
So let's go from Sonya Blade to Liu Kang. Liu Kang is in this trailer.
He is
looking pretty good. He's got his fire powers. He's got his fire dragon powers. He's often called the hero of Mortal Kombat. He's like the fighter of Earthrealm.
Yeah, especially in the games, he is normally a
especially in the games. So is it just going to be this Cole Young guy, and Liu Kang's going to be like what, his buddy or something?
I think so. For now, at least, anyway.
I've got reservations about that, but yes, and Liu Kang actually died in Mortal Kombat 9, but came
Yes.
back in Mortal Kombat 11.
Yes, he did. He was set on fire by Raiden, I believe.
He was lightninged by Raiden.
Yeah.
And then we have Hanzo Hasashi, Scorpion himself. He's the reanimated ninja of the Shiba Ryu clan who wear yellow. He was killed by Sub-Zero, and Sub-Zero also kills his family. From what I can see in this trailer, that's probably going to be the same. That's not going to change.
Yeah, I think that's
Because
definitely the same.
we see Hanzo, the human Scorpion, fight some Lin Kuei ninjas. So I think that's probably what's going to happen. And he's in sort of his yellow Shira Ryu sort of get up. And then Sub-Zero arrives, probably, takes him out, kicks his butt, then he kills his family. But it's actually, in the games, it's actually revealed to be Quan Chi. Quan Chi's not even in this trailer.
Well, yeah, I don't even think he'll turn up for the film, to be honest.
No, he doesn't even turn up in the 1995 Mortal Kombat, I don't
No.
think, at least. Maybe he does, I don't know. I have this sort of vague memory of a live action Quan Chi, and I've got no idea where it's from. I think it's from like those web series that Mortal Kombat sometimes has.
Yeah.
Anyway, Quan Chi, who I don't think is in this film, reanimates Scorpion. How are they going to explain Scorpion without explaining Quan Chi? Or maybe he's just referenced so you don't actually see him.
Yeah, probably.
And he's probably like the sequel villain. That might be cool.
Yeah, true.
I'd like that actually. I'd like that very much.
I don't know if that's where I'll go with it though.
Oh. You don't know what? You don't know it as well.
No, as in like I think I have an idea of how the sequel is going to turn out.
Fair enough. Then we have Kung Lao, who has the magical disc hat. He's still got
Yes.
the hat. The hat looks good. He looks straight. You know what? Kung Lao actually looks very, very accurate. Like he looks like he's straight out of Mortal Kombat 9, and I love that. I love when they can get the conversion process from game screen to movie screen. Very good.
Yeah.
I like that process. I like how, yes, this would work in a video game, but would it work in a film? Like people say Gears of War would make a good film. Yes, it would, but I don't think people would like to go around in 100 tons of armor.
Yeah.
And huge, 50-ton rifles with chainsaws on them. I think Mortal Kombat, yes, it would work very well, but it's about doing it correctly and doing it right.
Yeah.
And not having like a Mortal Kombat Annihilation scenario where Shao Kahn turns into a giant 50-foot reptile dragon and then Raiden turns into a giant 50-foot reptile dragon. Because
Yeah.
isn't that how that film ended?
I believe so. Yes.
Anyway, let's go on to Raiden. He doesn't show up much in this trailer, but I feel like he could be he could give the heroes an advantage with his lightning powers and his cool hat. And everyone's got very cool hats. Cool hats and his staff. He's still got his staff. He's still got his sort of white robes. He looks pretty good. I like the look of him.
Yeah.
What do you think of his sort of involvement in this? Because he doesn't appear much in the 1995 Mortal Kombat, but he looks pretty good, I'd say here.
He's gonna have a main role in this film. I'm
Yes.
pretty much
Also,
sure of
do you
it.
think it's cool how they've sort of gone for basically unknowns
Yeah.
for actors?
Yes.
Not somewhat unknowns, but like people who like you wouldn't really know at a glance.
Yeah,
Like
I do quite
I know
like
the
it.
person playing Scorpion, I don't want to butcher his name, but I'll do my best. Hiroyuki Sanada. I probably have butchered his name. I'm sorry. Is a Japanese actor who's playing Scorpion. He's very sort of known for his theatrical roles in Japan and his sort of career in Asia. And the person that plays Shang Tsung as well, an actor called Chin Han, who was in quite a few things in the US.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, as for like, as for Cole Young and Sonya Blade and people like that, it's sort of, they have gone for relatively relatively unknowns. But I think that's good because you can build them up as like those characters.
Yeah, exactly.
You can build them up as those characters, so I like that. Then we go on to a few sort of, you get a couple of glimpses of stuff in the trailer, don't you?
Yeah.
One of the people you get a glimpses of is Kano.
Yes.
And Kano is in this trailer, not a villain.
No.
He seems to be a member of the gang. Like he has a feud with Sonya Blade throughout every single game.
Yes.
They want to murder each other. But in this one, they're sort of going around adventuring together. There is one shot of them fighting, and that's it. I don't even think they're fighting anywhere. They're just fighting in a desert.
He'll turn.
You think he's going to be... Yeah, he's going to be a traitor. He's going to betray them, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's a mercenary, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's a Black Dragon. He's from the Black Dragon, who are the clan of
mercenaries. Someone will probably have money or something, and then it'll change.
Yeah,
he'll become like a, maybe not necessarily a henchman, but he'll become like a secondary sort of like, we have to beat this person before we get to the final person sort of thing.
Yeah. He's gonna be either a traitor or some kind of hired bounty hunter who's gonna turn tail and turn on the heroes. That might be all right. He has his laser eye, but he doesn't have his like metal eye plate that he has in the games.
Yeah.
But I think it might be like a Terminator situation, where maybe he gets beaten up real bad and you see he's like a cyborg.
Yeah, that's probably what we're going to go for.
Also, Cabal's going to be in this.
Yes.
But we haven't seen Cabal in the trailer.
No, again, it's one of those things where you see it for like a second. You see like his weapons, you see someone using his like...
His sort of hook blades.
Yeah. And for a split second, but it's behind. I think. So you see basically the back of his head and his weapons.
Right, okay. Well,
it's the same with apparently Reptile.
Yes, I heard Reptile is in this as well.
Yes,
Reptile is in sort of the last few seconds. Spoilers. I think he's the one that Kano rips the heart from.
Well, yeah. Everyone's assuming it's Reptile because it's literally a massive reptile. It's not like ninja
suit. Everyone's assuming that it's Reptile. And that's why if you can kill anybody, you can probably kill Reptile and get away with it. And I think no one's going to be crying at home about Reptile.
Yeah, but also I don't know if you would show him dying in the trailer.
Yeah, true. That unless it's one of those things where Reptile is like a race. Like how Baraka is a Tarkatan and Tarkatan is a race.
Yes, Baraka, who also is not in this trailer.
Well, no, people are saying that he is in the trailer.
Oh, is he?
People are saying that he's that picture on that sort of painting.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know when they say like when they're explaining, they're like Mortal Kombat has existed for centuries as a fighting tournament of champions, that kind of thing.
Hmm.
And there's like a picture of like someone who's clearly dead on the floor and a person standing above them. I think the person standing above them is Baraka.
I would hope so. I quite like Baraka.
Yeah, but just because he doesn't have his arm blades. If he had his arm blades, everyone would be going, it's Baraka. But no, he looks like Baraka does. However, there is another Tarkatan in this film, or half Tarkatan, because Melina does show up.
She is. She is confirmed.
Yes. First off, where's Katana?
Or Jade.
Or Jade. Where's Katana and Jade? Well, to have Melina, you must also have Katana. So I'm going to assume Katana will be in this film.
Yes. I mean, probably, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Katana was in the 1995 version.
Yes.
And they brought Melina in for the sequel. So, anyway, I think Melina looks good. I like the sort of... She's very sort of Mortal Kombat 10. She has that sort of armor-ish, very shoulder pad heavy look. And I like that. She's still got her size. Of course, you can't get rid of them. People are complaining about her teeth, and I think, oh, they look fine.
Yeah, I mean, they're not...
It's going to look a bit gimmicky if she opens her mouth and she's got a massive jaws. That's going to be a bit disappointing.
That's what I mean. Saying that, it does then somewhat worry me that if Baraka is in this film, he's going to have the same mouth and it might not look the same.
Well, no, I think Melina's mouth looks okay. Melina is only half Tarkatan.
Well, that's what I mean. So I'm hoping if Baraka is, I'm hoping they just go full on, like...
Right, massive. They go full But yeah. they go full Baraka mouth.
Yeah.
Never go full Baraka mouth. But I think Melina's teeth look fine. I don't know why people are whinging about it.
Mm.
I think, yeah, they just look like she's got pointed teeth, and that's how she's supposed to look.
Yeah.
And she does that thing where she sort of licks her sides, and that's cool. That's what she always does in the games.
Yeah.
Even though we only see it for a split second. Then we have, we've mentioned Reptile already.
Yep.
Do you want to mention Shao Kahn? Because Shao Kahn's in this trailer.
Well, a statue is in this trailer.
A statue of Shao Kahn is in this trailer. So Shao Kahn does exist.
Well, he either does exist or he did exist.
He did exist, yeah. But Shao Kahn is the Emperor of Outworld, who is who normally is the one who oversees the second stage of the tournament after Shang Tsung has been defeated. Because Shang Tsung's like the first boss that you sort of fight. He's the guy you fight at the end of the first game, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So also, he looks exactly like he does in Mortal Kombat 11. I love that the statue at least. The statue looks so much like he does in Mortal Kombat 11. That he's got like the massive horns on his helmet. He's got the sort of the bigger armor, the big sort of booster armor. I like that.
Yeah.
He's holding his huge hammer. It's got a logo on it. He just looks so much like Shao Kahn. I popped for that in the trailer. I was like, yeah, that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And it's great as well because Shao Kahn's one of the people you can really build to. He can be like your Thanos of the Mortal Kombat.
That's the thing. I don't think they would do Quan Chi in the second film. I reckon it might be Shao Kahn in the second film.
Oh no, I'd want Shang Tsung in this film because you have to.
Yeah.
Then I'd want Quan Chi in the second film.
Yeah.
Then I'd want Shao or Shinnok. Maybe Shinnok for the third film.
Yeah.
Then Shao Kahn. Like Shao Kahn has to be. You know, I think Shinnok's probably a bigger boss than Shao Kahn is. Mm. But not a lot of people know about Shinnok. And then you can have like Onaga and those sort of like very classic Mortal Kombat villains.
I like how you're essentially just wanting like six films.
Yeah, I'm wanting more. Just make more films. More Mortal Kombat films. It's one of those things where it is so ripe for film and television, but nobody does it.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid of doing it because of all the constraints and all the stuff you have to adhere to. But there's been a lot of video game movies out there, Corey.
Yes.
And we've decided to bring you our top five favourites. Isn't that right, Corey? Do you have your top five with you?
I do. They're not necessarily in an order, because I ain't gonna lie. Most video game films aren't the greatest.
No, but actually mine are in an order.
So I just have, here's five films I would somewhat recommend to watch, for different reasons.
Okay. Well, also, I do believe it's your weekly rec.
Yes, it is.
Okay, have you selected one?
Yes.
Good. Well, we'll hear that after these top five. So, who wants to go first? Shall I go first, or you go first?
Yeah, you can go first, why not?
Well, this won't be surprising, but my number five is Mortal Kombat 1995.
Okay.
It is. It's, as much as we've explained, it's sort of the first crack at doing a cinematic Mortal Kombat film. It's got Scorpion, it's got Sub-Zero, it's got Johnny Cage, it's got all the characters you like. It's not got Cole Young or any weird original insert. It is just literally all the characters from the film. From the games, sorry.
Yeah.
It's all the characters from the game. Shang Tsung is the villain, Goro's in it. It's just good old popcorn chomping action film. And I like that. It takes you to Outworld. There's Raiden. There's Liu Kang and Katana. And I think it's just it's cool for what it's worth. Yes, I don't think it understands the Mortal Kombat mythos very well. And sometimes it can be a bit of 90s cheese.
Yeah.
But who doesn't like a bit of 90s cheese? So that's my number five. Mortal Kombat 1995.
Okay. Well, like I said, I mentioned mine aren't in actually a particular order. I did actually have Mortal Kombat down. Same one as yours.
Mm-hmm.
Similar reasons. Main reason why I thought I'd recommend it today was just because I thought, okay, you know what? Go back and watch the 95 version. And then you can go back and, well, not go back, even you can watch the 2021 version.
Yeah.
Just so you can see I feel like the 1995 one was okay, but I feel like it's great either. And I have a feeling this one's going to be, fingers crossed, somewhat decent. Plus, you can see how far things have gone film-wise. But I just think it'd be a good idea to go back and watch 95 one, and you can go back and watch this one, and then I think it'll make it a bit better anyway. So that's why I had it on there.
All right. Do you want to add anything?
I think you pretty much covered it, to be honest. It's nice. It's good. It's fun. It's silly, and it's a bit.
Yeah, it is. It is a bit. Well, I think they took the property and they did whatever they could with it.
Yeah, exactly.
For the constraints of having, like, also video games are long affairs.
Yeah.
But and you have to compress those long affairs into like a 2-hour movie at best.
Yeah.
So. That they're held down to time constraints of how long people can sit in a theatre for. Whereas a video game, you can be there for days.
True.
Anyway, my number four film is it's Hitman Agent 47 from 2015.
Okay.
Yes, you may have heard that there's been a couple of cinematic outings of the Hitman, and yeah. This one is no different. It replaces Timothy Oliphant's sort of hitman with Rupert Friend as Agent 47, with Zachary Quinto and Kieran Hines as your villains, and it's about the hitman Agent 47 protecting this girl who is pursued by some evil scientists, and I think it's an interesting take on the hitman films.
Yeah.
It's more sort of action shoot 'em up, which is fine. I know they can't really do a sort of stealth sneaky hitman film, even though as much as I'd love that. I think it does very well of adapting the hitman universe and who exactly Agent 47 is or who he isn't.
Yeah.
It didn't do that bad. It grossed about 82 million. It definitely made its money back. So I like that. It did change sort of Agent 47's origins. He wasn't created by Dr. Altmaier. I think they make necessary changes for a cinematic endeavor for Agent 47. I know that some people would probably do better with the property. I'm not sure how exactly IO Interactive felt about this, but I know it didn't do very well. In terms of critics. I don't think it went well in terms of reception, but I know it got sort of it was getting 3 out of 10s and 20s out of 100 and that sort of thing,
yeah.
But I think it has its good points. And in terms of video game films don't usually work. Like you just said that most video game films aren't really critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
So take from that what you will.
Yeah.
But I think Hitman Agent 47 gives it a good try. I don't think it is a hit, but it isn't a hitman. I don't think it isn't a hitman. But it does what it can.
Yeah.
And that's commendable, I'd say. So that is my number four, Hitman Agent 47. Your turn.
I'm gonna go for a bit more of an obscure one.
Alright.
I'm going for House of the Dead.
Okay. And what is that sort of based on?
It's based on the arcade game.
Oh right, yeah.
The arcade, like, yeah, you get a plastic gun, fire it at a screen. That sort of thing. Like Time Crisis, essentially. But zombies.
Oh, I like Time Crisis.
Yeah, exactly. It's that sort of thing. Now, the film is again, awful. it's awful. But the one thing it does is, it embraces the game as much as it could. It's literally based on two people are on an island surrounded by zombies, and then this like tactical weapons expert turns up. And then there's like a really good, somewhat okay sequence where they use video game footage and cut it into the film. So it, at least it embraces the fact that this is a film that is based around a game. It doesn't try to be like, okay, we're this, you know, we're this actual thing. It goes, no, this is a game, we're just making it into a film. Again, the film's not great, but I like the fact that it actually acknowledges the fact that it's a video game franchise. So yeah, my number four is House of the Dead from 2007, I believe.
Yeah. So, so you think that it's you think it's a decent adaptation?
It's okay. It's there's not much you can do with, like House of the Dead or even like Time Crisis. Anyway, it kind of has to be just a zombie sort of, you know, shooting survival thing. It's okay. It's not great, but it's all right, I guess. As far as video games, video game films go, it's okay.
All right, fair enough. Do you want to re-rating these, or would you rather just list them off?
I mean, most of these are going to be quite low anyway.
Yeah, I don't think we need to bother doing.
No.
Fair enough. Well, coming to my number three, it is Need for Speed 2014.
Okay, I also had this one down.
Okay, good. Do you have it in your number three?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Based on the driving game by EA,
yes.
Need for Speed is basically a Fast and Furious ripoff.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it needed to be. It didn't. I didn't think it needed to be anything else. Like, you've got a game about fast cars, or you need to make a film about fast cars. What is the biggest premier franchise about films of fast cars? Fast and Furious. Just make a Fast and Furious film.
Exactly. Pretty much. Yeah.
So that's what it needed to be. That's what it had to be, and that's what, thankfully, it is. So I don't think it's a failure in that way.
Well, no, it's. Literally, it's essentially, yeah, it's just fact. It's this guy who, I haven't seen this film in ages and ages. I remember it just ends in a race, I think. It's this guy who's just trying to beat someone, as well. I can't remember what it is. I think there's some, like, love romance in there as well, because of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, again, it wasn't bad. I remember watching it somewhat when it came out. I think when it came out on DVD is when
yeah,
I watched
the
it.
The cast is pretty decent.
Well, exactly, yeah.
You've got Aaron Paul, fresh off Breaking Bad. You've got Rami Malek, Michael Keaton, Dominic Cooper. You've got a good list of names.
Yeah.
I mean, Dakota Johnson as well shows up. So, yeah, I think it's...
It was
a good
try.
I think it's probably... I don't know whether it's the best on my list, but it's definitely up there.
Yeah, I'd say it's up there. I mean, again, it's not great, but I'd say it's up there.
No, it's not great, but at least it's, like, passable as a film.
Yeah, exactly.
We're looking at things that are passable as films based on video games.
Yeah.
And I'd say that, indeed, it is passable. So, so can you add anything, since it's on your number three as well?
I mean, again, yeah, it is just a... A Fast and Furious ripoff. I mean, if you like sort of racing and like that, so, I mean, that's kind of why I watched it, because I'm somewhat tolerable of Fast and the Furious. It's like, okay, I like the games, I'll give it a watch. Saying that, if it was called something else, and you didn't... So if it was called, like, generic racing name, and I watched it, I don't know if I would have gone, oh, it's Need for Speed.
Right, okay.
Because it doesn't really lend itself into the game as such.
It right, yeah. That be something that we're looking at? Should that be something that we're looking at? Like, if you watch this film and it wasn't called the title of the video game, would you know that it's the video game film?
I wouldn't have. I feel like it needed to, like, lean into more of, like, because I think Need for Speed, I think, like, street cars customization, you know, neon lights underneath and all that, the kind of old school saying that. Last time I played Need for Speed was years ago, but that's what I think.
Right.
I think, like, street racing. Like, not sports cars.
with that logic, I'd say that Hitman Agent 47 and Mortal Kombat are pretty good.
Yes, by that logic, yes.
With the logic that we're using, if it was called something else, would you still know it was the video game film? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I'd look at Mortal Kombat, I'd see Sub-Zero, I'd see Scorpion, I'd see Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade and Kano, who looks like Kano, and you think, oh, it's clearly a Mortal Kombat film.
Yeah.
If it was called Fighting Ninja Man, I'd still know what it was.
Yeah.
You know? Even Hitman Agent 47, the iconography of the bold man in the black suit with a red tie, Agent 47.
Yeah.
You're going to know exactly who he is. If it was called Bold Man Strangles People in a Bathroom, you'd still know what it was.
Exactly.
So, but with Need for Speed, yeah, if it was called something else, you wouldn't really associate it with the game, would you? It'd just be generic car film.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to the queue, says Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
But my number two these two are probably the most recent films as well.
Okay.
Because I think video game films have gotten better.
Yes.
Like, we're not looking at Mario and Luigi anymore. No. That the Mario film ever was called. Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
We're not looking at that anymore. We're looking at things that have moved on. And especially, I think video game films have gotten better. Like, look at the trailer for Mortal Kombat 2021. It has gotten better. So with this, these two are more recent.
Yeah.
So this, my number two is from 2018. It is Tomb Raider.
Okay.
So I'm sure you've probably discounted the Tomb Raider films.
They're not on my list. However,
okay.
It's not because I don't like them. I've just picked other stuff for other reasons.
Okay. Well, Tomb Raider 2018 is I think it's a reboot of previous Tomb Raider films that they've made.
Yeah, I think so.
It's got Alicia Vikander, who is great. I'm a big fan of hers. It's got Hannah Giancarlo, who's really hot right now and is in loads of stuff. I think it does well at doing the modern take on Tomb Raider. Like, Tomb Raider back in the day was, a woman in very short shorts with, you know, triangle breasts, running around and doing flips at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But this, the more recent versions of Tomb Raider has just been like, you know, don't bleed out to death. Like, you know, you've hit yourself on a twig, don't bleed out. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of craft bows and arrows and learn how to make a fire and learn how to, you know, kill a sheep or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot more about survival than it is about running and gunning, which is what the older games used to be about.
Yeah.
And it sort of reflected this. It's gone from, especially the 2018 version, it's gone from that running and gunning action style to more of a, I don't want to say more of an intimate affair, but it really is more of an intimate affair, of following this girl and her sort of, following this girl and the fact that her family is, she's a bit of a black sheep in her family. And she doesn't want the riches, and she doesn't want the fame of the Croft name. She wants to pursue her own thing, pursue adventure and the world and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I really like that.
Mm.
And I like it's sort of taken the modern take of the games and it's put it into a film.
Yeah.
The cast isn't half bad. I said Alicia Vikander, Dominic West, who I'm a big fan of. Derek Jacobi, who's good as well. As I mentioned, Hannah Giancarlo shows up in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I'm quite a fan. Nick Frost as well makes a pretty cool cameo. And we're fans of Nick Frost and Simon Pegg on this show. So.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, that is my number two, Tomb Raider 2018. And also, if I had to recommend you watch anything on this list, watch that one.
Okay.
Tomb Raider in 2018. Okay. What is your number two?
Interesting choice. Okay, so I've picked a film. Now you may be thinking, I don't know, you may be thinking why I've done this. I've picked a film that I absolutely despise.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because I want people to watch it to know how bad this film is, because this could generally have potential if they did it correctly. I have gone with the 2010 Prince of Persia.
Right, okay.
The film is awful.
Yes, indeed.
It's bad. However, I think the game, Prince of Persia, has very good potential of being an actually somewhat decent film, if they do it correctly.
I love the game, Prince of Persia. It's great.
Exactly. I want people to watch it so they can go, that film was bad, but they need to do it correctly. Because it's... Mm-hmm. I would... If they came out... Obviously, you know, we have, like, Uncharted. You mentioned Tomb Raider. Prince of Persia is kind of similar. But if they came out saying, oh, I'm making a Prince of Persia film, that is one I would generally be somewhat hyped for. Like, you know, because I feel like they had potential and it was just bad. And it was 11 years ago, which isn't that far. And even at that time, they could have done something decent. But yeah, the film itself isn't great. It's Sands of Time, which is even that, you could do something time-based, and it's great, but didn't even do that. You know, the guy has a dagger that alters time. That's what happens in the film, and that's essentially it. I will give it props for the fact that the film looks like what Prince of Persia would probably look like, and the character, the guy playing the prince itself, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, decent casting. People know who he is. It's just the film itself was just bad. So I want people to watch it, especially if you're a fan of Prince of Persia film, to know how bad it is.
Yeah.
So that hopefully they can make a new one and make it right. So yeah, that's my number two. Most of my films aren't necessarily ranked by quality, they're just ranked by either how bad they are, or I think Need for Speed's probably been my best one on the list. Because my number one isn't great either.
Right, well, okay. Well, here's my thing. I think I've done the opposite to you.
Yeah.
Because my number one is something that I think is probably the best adaptation you could ever do.
Yeah.
Now, also, it's of a game that I guarantee most of our listeners won't even have heard of.
Okay, yeah, so it's completely different to my number one.
Yeah, but I've something that I would implore people to check out.
Okay.
Right. You've probably heard of the game. It was a little indie startup game that got a bit of a cult following.
Okay.
Have you heard of Papers, Please?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I believe so, yeah.
There was a short film in 2018 called Papers, Please. It's about 10 minutes long. And I think it's genuinely the best adaptation of a video game property for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Because let me explain to our listeners... here on Sign Radio, the basis of Papers, Please. It's simply you play an immigration officer in a communist-controlled Eastern European country.
Yeah.
And it is your job to approve or deny entrance to your country. So people will come along, different people will come along, give you their documents. You have to search their documents, search their passports, search their work permits, search all their papers, and you have to check the discrepancy. If you find a discrepancy, you can deny them, you can tell them no, they must leave. But you only get paid for letting people through. Yeah. So you have to have your conscience and sort of wage if you want to let people through or not. And you get you get emotional trouble, you get people, you know, wanting... a husband will get through, but his wife will have a discrepancy, and you have to maybe deny her, but she needs to be with her husband. There are sort of terrorist attacks by these rebel cells who come after you, and you have to deal with that. You're given like a gun to defend the sort of outpost that you work at, and you have to make enough money for your family at the end of the day to get food and heat and water and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and Papers, Please does a great job of those first couple aspects. They're doing a fantastic job of simply the border control officer looking at the papers and stamping things down and accepting or denying people into the country. And that's great. And the crux comes at the end of the film, where, spoilers, where you find out that one of the people you've let through was actually had the correct documents, but actually was a terrorist fighter and sort of blows up the base at the end.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I think that, obviously, not the act of terrorism on an Eastern European country, but the adaptation of the mechanics of the game into the look and the feel of a short film. So,
Okay.
That is my number one. It is Papers, Please, from 2018, and it's subtitled, but they don't speak English just for the heck of it. They do speak sort of a Russian-Ukrainian sort of dialect, I suppose.
Hmm.
Eastern European, like where the country of I forget the name of the fake country. It's Ostotska, I think the name is.
Yes, it is.
It's Ostotska, yeah. You play a border guard in Ostotska, and you have to accept or deny people through to your country. And I like that the mechanics of the game fit very well to the style and the feeling of the short film.
Yeah.
So that is my number one.
Okay. Now this is an interesting one. So I've done something. My number one, funny enough, I'll mention this now. My number one is actually also my recommendation for the week.
Okay, okay. You're going to do a 2-for-1, are you?
Exactly.
A number one and a weekly rec. All right, well, give it to us.
So this one does have a rating as well. I've got a rating for us.
Yes, we are. We have to rate it. Our weekly recs are real ratings. So.
It's available on Prime.
Right.
I believe. So you can go and watch it yourself. If you have Prime. If not, get a trial. Get Prime. Prime was my recommended, streaming service. So of course it has this great film that came out in 1994. Mm-hmm. Similar to Mortal Kombat in a way. I am of course talking about the Street Fighter movie.
No, Corey. You're not going to hit me with Street Fighter. Of course. Of course.
Which, as you can tell by Murray's voice, is a fantastic movie.
Yes.
So, A star. I would say it's the best example of why everyone says game movies are awful.
Yes.
It's the Street Fighter movie. That's the pinnacle of really bad video game film. It's Street Fighter movie.
But is it bad though? Is it bad really?
This is the thing. It's first off, casting wise, it's great. Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raoul Julia are in this.
Yes, they are, and they do great. I think Raoul Julia was only in it because his kids liked Street Fighter.
That I believe that's true. Raoul's playing M. Bison. Jean-Claude Van Damme is of course playing Guile because of course.
Yeah.
So that's also great. It's very, very cheesy. Very
it is.
Comical.
It's full of it's full of 90s cheese. It's full of quotable, memeable lines. It's great. It's so bad. It's good.
This is the thing, because I used to watch this all the time. We had this back on VHS, funny enough, and I used to watch it all the time. And I was an okay fan of Street Fighter. We had Street Fighter 2, I believe. So I knew everyone who was in it. You've got Chun-Li, you've got, as we mentioned, Bison and Guile, Vega's in the film, Cammy's in it, Ken, obviously Ryu's in it, Zangief's in it. You have all the normal people you would assume to see in a Street Fighter movie. Again, like Mortal Kombat, they haven't made some, new person. Ryu and
Ken. Yeah, exactly. They haven't made new person. They stick to the characters in the game.
Exactly.
And that is great. You don't suddenly have a guy called, Johnson Smith. Yeah. Has to be shown by Chun-Li how Street Fighter works, because you have all the characters, how Street Fighter works, and you can just get in there and have a good story. I think it is the essence of So Bad It's Good.
Exactly.
Everyone's wearing these cheesy costumes, saying these cheesy lines with the sort of really bad SFX. It just looks so bad, and it's so full of tack and cheese that I think it just becomes amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just weird, and it's bad, but it's great at the same time.
It is. It is very, very strange, but it's a good kind of strange.
Yes.
So what is your real rating then?
I mean, as much as I would recommend people watching it, and as much as if I was asked to watch a video game film, I would pick Street Fighter. It's probably going to have to be a 4.5 out of 10.
Right. Okay. I don't think it could get past the 5 mark.
No, I think 5 is the highest I could probably ever give it.
Yeah, 4.5. Do you say?
Yeah, I think I fluctuate between 4 and 5, so I'll go in the middle.
Right, 4.5 then. 4.5 for Street Fighter 1994.
Mm.
Only 1 year before Mortal Kombat.
Exactly, you know, it's trendsetter.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Of course. Exactly. And so, that concludes our top five video game film. Well, I had sort of a top five. You had more of a five that you're okay with.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, so go out there, watch Tomb Raider, watch Street Fighter. Please go and watch Street Fighter. Watch Papers, Please. We've got a nice little bundle of stuff for our listeners to go out and view. But to round off today, we will be listening to Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz in 2005, which also features in the soundtrack to GTA 5.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's the song we'll be leaving you with today. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.
Watch me shabby.